We covered it every Sunday morning. I think we skipped one Sunday as we took a little break and had a general sermon the Lord had laid upon my heart. But we've been covering this Sunday morning series this year, and the idea behind it is for each and every one of us to develop a proper mindset for success. Success in the world that we're living in today. Now, as Christians, we're obviously looking at the biblical perspective and application in such a mindset and how it applies in our life. And every drop of mindset stems from having a renewed mind. The Bible tells us, we see in our overall theme verses in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that we are to have a renewed mind. The Bible says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Beloved, if you're going to act different, live different, you're going to have to think different. You can't act and live different than others in this world today unless you are thinking different. The Bible tells us, as a man thinketh, so is he. Amen. It all starts with how we think. And so within having the correct mindset, we understand that you got to have the correct discipline. You got to have the correct discipline. Let's see if we got that going on. The correct discipline, which simply put is developing the ability to choose between doing what is going to help you reach your goals by and not doing the things that you want to do that's going to hinder you from reaching those goals. So we looked at the two different types of ideas, the things on the side that we're tempted to do that we really want to do in our life. We want to do them because maybe they're fun for a short season, but they're not going to help you reach the goals that you set out. So therefore, the disciplined mindset refuses to do the things that you want to do that's going to hinder you from those goals, and even the things you don't want to do, the uncomfortable things, the things that take work and labor and they're taxing. The disciplined mindset has you do them anyway because they're going to help you reach and achieve your goals. Secondly, we know within mindset is there needs to be decisions that are made. We talked about three major decisions that you must make in your life. We talked about just simply being better. We talked about setting the bar up first and then being better. And then thirdly, we had to make the decision to blame not. And these were the vital choices that we must make in order for success to be part of our lives. We looked, lastly, the last portion that we looked at was the direction we're going. And simply stated, beloved, this is the place where we execute our decisions by that disciplined mind in order for us to pursue the goals that we've laid out according to the vision and according to the plan. Now, beloved, in the Christian life, whether we are working, whether we're serving, whether we're playing, whether we are loving, whether it's dealing with our family, these principles apply in helping us keep our eye on the prize and ignore the noise of the distractors and the disruptors and the dividers in our world and in our life. Every one of us are surrounded by those that are just at the very end of the day. They are at the very best a distractor and a disruptor and a divider of what the Lord wants you to do. Those people are sent into your life with a plan. They're sent into your life by the devil. They're sent into your life by the world. And you sit there and you say, how in the world can that happen? Beloved, there are just some people in this life. They are only static is all they are. And we need to not be deterred by the static in our life. Now, that sounds a bit harsh. I understand that. But some of what we're going to get into in our fourth point today, our fourth topic of this mindset series, is that you're going to see that there's just some people born into this world. Now, everybody has the opportunity to be saved and born again. But there are those who are not going to be saved. They're not going to be born again. And they're only going to serve. And the detriment of the Lord's movement. We with all that said, it's time for us to begin to look at this new topic within our series. And it's a topic I think, once we got these first three out of the way, for 3 months we've been preaching on that idea, those first three points. And there's going to come a time when you're working, you're trying to reach your goals. You're trying to reach forth. You're trying to press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. And the mindset is sealed and gains are being made. And it's usually at this point when the enemy rears up his ugly head. It's usually at this point when the enemy begins to come into your life in the form of friends or whatever it may be, even foes, and they want to get you to do things that you should not do or even things that you should do, but at a wrong time when you should be doing other things that would help you get to help you succeed. Beloved, such an enemy can come from within. It can come within our own life in the form of greed. An enemy doesn't have to be a person. It can be something from ourselves through covetousness, through pride, whatever it may be. But whatever it is an obstacle that comes into our life, hindering us from doing what God wants us to do. It does so in order to detract us from having the right mindset. And beloved, if you're going to have victory over this enemy, it's going to require you have the mindset for success. And so we have to apply this fourth principle in the mindset. So I want to speak to you this morning on the topic of defense. There comes a time when you have to defend what you've already built. There comes a time as a father, you've got to defend what foundation you've laid in your children's life. As a husband, you've got to defend what honor that is given unto your wife. And as a wife, what honor is given unto your husband. And as a mother, what foundation you've laid in your children. There comes a time when you've got to defend those principles. And the mindset is absolutely positively no different. You've worked and you've strived to have a disciplined mindset. You've worked and you've strived to make those adequate and those optimal decisions. And then you've gotten into the right direction. You begin to make that movement and executing through that disciplined mind, those plans and that vision and those reaching those goals for success. And then there comes a time now that you've got to defend the ground that you've laid. That's all part of it, my friend. But what I want you to understand, and understand very quickly this morning before we get into this first part, this is an age-old battle. This battle is nothing new. This is a battle of the ages that has continued to rage on after generation after generation and after generation. It is a perpetual battle. It is a continual war in the life of every individual in this world. So what I'm going to tell you this morning, what illustrations I give you from the Holy Scripture, none of it is going to be something that is new. Maybe new to you, but none of it is new. And by the way, none of it's going to cease. It's going to continue. So lay in the defense for what you have and what you've achieved and what growth you've developed and what mindset you have this morning is something that you're going to have to fight for from this day forward. Open your Bibles up, if you will, to the Old Testament. I'll have you turn to Malachi with me this morning. You're going to be in Malachi in chapter 1. Malachi in chapter 1 is where we'll be. And if you're willing and able to this morning, and I ask you to stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. We're only going to read four verses by way of introduction. And this is only verses that are given unto us today to set the tone and set the direction of where we need to go in the defense for not only the faith, but the defense for the proper mindset for success in the Christian life. Now, Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. Should be easy to find. Genesis, Exodus, Malachi, amen. So you'll be there. It is the 39th book in the Old Testament, or 39th book in the Bible, if you will. Once you get there, let's stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. Begin with me in verse 1. The Bible says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord, yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, and yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. Whereas Edom saith, we are impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall build, but I will throw down. And they shall call them the borders of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation." Watch these next two words. "Forever." Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, dear Lord, for your wonderful time and opportunity to gather today. We ask you this morning to please dwell with us, Father. We ask you to open up your scriptures in this introductory sermon, Lord, to this fourth topic in the mindset series. We pray that you would bless it to our hearts. Help us, Lord, apply it into our lives. I ask you, dear God, let it not just be words on a Sunday morning, but Lord, I pray they would sink deep inside of our souls. They would help us change our lives to grow closer to you. Father, we ask these things in the precious name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, and please be seated. As I mentioned before in the introduction, I'm here to say tonight, or today, this morning, this war that we're talking about, this battle between to try to deter you from the disciplined mindset, to try to take away from you the proper decisions, to try to keep you from going the right direction, is something that must be defended. But this war, this battle, is nothing new. It is a perpetual war. It is one in which has never ended and will not end until Christ comes back. In the text that we read, God says, refers to his mountains, or referred to Esau. He's talking about a place where the Edomites live. Esau was the father of the Edomites, and we'll get into that just a little bit later on. But he's speaking of the mountains, is referring to his heritage, his descendants, if you will, which are the Edomites. The Lord says it's where for the dragons of the wilderness, it mentions there. And that's speaking of the wild animals would live, where the Edomites used to live, where the descendants of Esau would have their dwelling place. But this next portion of the scripture, and I'd like you to take this verse in your Bible, and if you take notes or write down, underscore this in your Bible, or underscore it at least in your mind. But the Bible says in verse 4, "And the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever." And we'll say that to you again. It says, and the people against whom the Lord hath indignation forever. I want to speak to you this morning concerning this battle, this continual war that we're finding, that we need to defend ourselves and defend our decisions, defend our direction, defend our disciplined mind, defend the mindset that we've been speaking about for all of these last months. I want to speak to you about this continual war. It's in our very life today. It's in our life, one that was all the way back between Jacob and Esau, is the very battle that is between us and the mindset that God has given us in this world today. It's a tremendous lesson to be learned about this war. You see, learning about this war, guys, will better equip us to defend our ground of the renewed mind. Think about it for just a second, then we'll get into it. You got a renewed mind, something that you wasn't born with. You got a renewed mind, something that you wasn't given at birth, or is not, at least not innate to you from your birth. You have a renewed mind that gives you that discipline, that helps you make the decisions, that takes you in the right and godly direction. You have that renewed mind with you. And there is an element of this world that wants to take that renewed mind away from you. You have an element of this world that wants to remove the fact of what you're learning to do right, live right, walk right, talk right, act right, to live for God in this world, to succeed in what God has given us. There's something in this world that wants to take that away from you. And it's going to be the enemy that we find here from the very beginning. Today, I'm going to have you to turn to two places in the Word of God, all right? We're going to flip back and forth periodically, but I'm going to have you go ahead and get there, stick you a finger in there, a card, or whatever you have. And we're going to be in Genesis chapter 25, and then we're going to be in the book of Galatians this morning. So you can go ahead and be turned to those places there. I'll give you the chapter of the book of Galatians a little bit later on, because I've learned over the years, if I give you the chapter now, while I'm speaking, you're going to be reading, amen? And so I'll give you that chapter here later on in Galatians. So we're going to start in Genesis chapter 25. And the first thing that I want you to see concerning this battle is I want us to look at the beginning. I want you to look at the beginning. Look in Genesis chapter 25 with me, and we're going to see how it all began. And we're going to, when you're distracted by the lust of this world, when you're distracted by greed, when you're distracted by anger, this is where it all began. When peers tempt you in doing things that you should not do, and this is where it began. It has everything to do with where it started, but it has everything to do this morning with you. It's personal. I want you to understand. Now, last week I talked about the devil going after I used the football, an American football, as an illustration. As a linebacker would hit a quarterback, and I said it's nothing personal because the devil, he just wants what's in that quarterback's hand. Now I'm coming back to you on a different topic. This battle between the flesh and the spirit, this battle between Jacob and Esau, is very personal. Okay? Now, the truth is different, the battle between the devil and establishing the truth. He doesn't care about you. It's not personal. He'll walk all over you and stomp all you if he can get rid of that truth. But now we're talking about a different battle. We're talking about a battle that is continual all the time. See, the devil's not always fooling with you. Amen? The devil's not omnipresent. He can't be in two places at one time. He can't be leading the leaders of this world in areas and then coming down here to Abraham and try to do things to us. Now, he sends his devils and all this and that and henchmen and all that. But see, the devil's success a lot of times is seen in the work of our own lives with our own flesh. Us. This perpetual, continual battle that we're finding here. But not only will we find from the Word of God the battle that continues, but let me encourage you this morning. We'll see from the Word of God how that we can live in victory in this life by defending the renewed mind, by fighting back in the battle in the way that we should fight it. So it all started, Genesis 25, look down in verse 19 with me. The Bible says, "And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian, of Padanaram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. The children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If it be so, why am I thus?' And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, 'Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy mouths. One people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger.'" Now, this is an interesting piece of Israeli history, if you will. We're going all the way back to the very forefathers of the nation of Israel. Now, we understand that second child there that's being born, that's wrestling in this womb, is Jacob. Jacob's name was later changed to Israel. Israel, we know, you got the 12 tribes of Israel, which are the 12 children of Jacob. But this is a generation before all of that. Now we're finding where Jacob and Esau are being born. God said to Rebekah, he said, "Listen, in your womb there's two sons. And within that womb there's going to be the progenitor, if you will, of two different nations. You're going to have the progenitor of the Edomite people, which we know is the descendants of Esau. And you're going to have the progenitor of the Israelite people, which we know is Jacob." Now, these two nations that are represented in the Bible, they are a typological representation that we have of the flesh and the spirit. Herein lies the problem that we have in maintaining the mindset of success. Now, let me just expound on this just for a second. I have in my notes this morning what I would like to complete as far as the topic and the points go. But I'm also going to watch that clock, and if I don't get through that second point today, I'm fine with that. Point number three is where I was going to end, but I'm happy with doing point number one and point number two and picking up on number three next week. I'm saying all that to say this. I want to give you the backstory, if you will. I want you to understand that when we talk about the battle between the flesh and the spirit, it is a continual battle. It is a perpetual war. It is something that continues on in our life, and it is the very thing that is keeping us from having the successful mindset we need in this world. Now, if I refer back to last week and I was speaking about the devil and the attacking of the truth and trying to take the truth away from you, he does so by changing the Word of God. He does so by taking parts of the Word of God out. He does so by false manuscripts and the writings of men and false prophets and false teachers and liars in this world. And he does so by obscuring the holy Word of God, the preserved, purified Word of God that you have before you today. That's what the devil does. And his attack is on the truth. He's done that from the very beginning. He showed up to Eve in the garden and he says, "Yea, hath God," finish you with me, "said." That is the Word of God, okay? He was tempting Eve to disbelieve God's word the same way the devil does today to keep us from believing the written word of God that we have in the Bible. Okay? That's the attack on the truth. This attack here that we're speaking of this morning is a different battle, rooted in the same force and by the same force and the same power. But this attack is on keeping you from having the right mindset. If our overall text is Romans chapter 12, verse 2, which says, and be not conformed to this world, but. Now, what does the word but do? It changes to the other side of the street, doesn't it? If we say, don't walk down the right side of the street, but the left, we know that we're to walk down the left side of the street. So if the Bible says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. How do you be transformed? By the renewing of your mind. If you were to put that into a mathematical equation, the equal sign will be just before the renewing of your mind. In order to be transformed, and in order to not be conformed to this world, you have to have a renewed mind. Therefore, the old flesh, I'm getting ahead of myself almost, Esau, if you will, is a continual battle to keep you from being transformed by keeping you from having a renewed mind. So the attack this morning, the battle between the flesh and the spirit, this battle from the very beginning, this wrestling of two nations, this wrestling of two ideologies and two foundations, is trying to keep you from having a renewed mind, to think right, walk right, talk right, and be right. And this lies, this is the problem. This is where the problem of our world stems. The war in all life is between the flesh and the spirit. It's between Esau being the flesh and Jacob being the picture of the spirit. And I'm going to show you how Esau represents the flesh. I'm going to show you how Jacob represents the spirit. I'm going to show you all of these things directly from the Word of God and how you are to defend your ground and have victory over the flesh in this life, to live according to the Spirit of God and finding the blessings that God wants for His children today. Can I tell you that, guys? Can I give you just a little bit of assurance this morning? God is not sitting up in heaven upon His throne with a massive hammer like Thor has and trying, just waiting for you to step out of line to whack you. This is a misunderstanding of who and what God is. God's not sitting up there saying, man, I can't wait till Darius messes up. Man, when that boy met, I'm going to whack the daylights. He's not doing that. He is up there wanting and begging and desiring to bless His children, to bless you today. That's what God wants to do. But His blessings are conditional, amen. His salvation is conditional upon receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You can't get saved unless you believed on Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and accept Him as the forgiveness of sins. You can't get saved without that. Can't go to heaven. As a matter of fact, God don't even see you without that. But secondly, His blessings thereafter, His life more abundantly, those who would see good days and love life, God wants to give you those things. But they're conditional according to where you're leaning and where you're loving, between the flesh and the spirit. So we see from the beginning, this is where it started, Esau and Jacob. So secondly, I want you to turn back over into the New Testament. I ask you to turn, hold your place in Galatians, book of Galatians. I didn't give you the where to yet. We're going to be in Galatians in chapter 5. Galatians in chapter 5. And I want you to see this battle. And most of y'all probably knew exactly where I was going. I can't fool you. You guys are too smart, too slick. Notice with me in verse 16, we're going to read all the way down to verse 23, but they're very short verses. Here is that battle. This goes all the way from Genesis 25 to Galatians chapter 5. The Bible says, This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Well, I like that part right there. That ties into our disciplined mindset so much, so ye cannot do the things that ye would. Verse 18. But if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, relevance. Now he says, listen, and just in case there's a lawyer in the midst, and he says, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, here's the other side of the street. But fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now there's nine fruit of the Spirit. Nine is the biblical number and biblical numerology of fruitfulness. Amen? The most fruit-bearing king shows up in the ninth book of the Bible, which is King David. The most fruit-bearing missionary that ever shows up in the Bible, ever lived, gets saved in the ninth chapter of the book of Acts. That's the Apostle Paul. Ladies, you carry those children for how many months? 9 months. It's the number of fruitfulness. And might I say, 1611, 1 plus 6 plus 1 plus 1 is 9. The most fruit-bearing book in this entire world was finished in 1611. Amen. And amen right there. I'm here to say this right now. There is a battle, and this is where the battle occurs. This is the same kind of war going on inside of you and I, the same kind of war that was going on inside of Rebecca, the same war between Esau and Jacob that you find. Notice what the Bible says. This I say then, this is in your verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, when the Bible says the flesh here, it doesn't mean your skin and bones. It doesn't mean what you have around on your body here. It means that old Adamic nature. This is what I said a moment ago. I was just about to get ahead of myself, and I didn't want to do that. When it says the flesh, it's talking about the old Adamic nature, that nature that comes down from Adam. And he says there, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He's saying, you shall not fulfill the lust of that old man, that old nature, the nature you were born with. He says, for the flesh, that old nature, lusteth against the Spirit. That's the new nature, that capital S Spirit, Holy Spirit. Remember, what is our text verse, 1 Corinthians 6, is it? For a healthy vessels class, what? Know you not that your body is what? The temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The Holy Spirit. Same thing. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. And this means, what this means is that it has strong desires to war against the Spirit. The flesh, the old Adamic nature, does not want to do what the Holy Spirit of God wants it to do. The flesh, the old Adamic nature, does not want to go to church. The flesh, the old Adamic nature, does not want to read the Bible. The flesh, the old Adamic nature, does not want to pray. Boy, it definitely doesn't want to pray. Probably the greatest battle that Christians have in this world today is not necessarily going to church, although you think it is. It's not necessarily reading the Bible. It's not even witnessing. It's prayer life. That's where it happens right there. That flesh will fight you. It'll kick and scream like a bratty little child to keep you from praying. Magic happens on the floor. Magic happens down on your knees praying before God Almighty, boldly approaching the throne of God. So that means that the flesh has strong desires against the Spirit. Keep reading there with me the next few verses. Verse 17, I think it is. It says, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, when something is contrary, I used a word last week, gainsayers. Gainsayers means to contradict or to be contrary. All right? When something is contrary, it means that it is opposites. It's fighting. It's against it. So I want you to think about this. Is there any light in darkness? No. Now, we're tempted to say, well, hang on. There's a little bit of light, and when it's yet still dark in the dusk or when the sun goes down. No, there is no light in darkness, period. It's either dark or it's light. Doesn't matter how little of light, if light is present, dark is not. Oh, you understand? Those are the opposite one of the other. They're contrary one of the other. Oil and water is a very good example. Which one is heavier? This is good science. Is it oil or is it water? Well, it's water. Have you ever seen when these tankers... these tankers in the ocean, and they rip a hole in them, and all of that oil, it doesn't sink down to the bottom of the sea. It stays right on top. And one of the ways that they try to get rid of it, they used to burn it off the top. Now, you can imagine, you can see, here's the entire sea that has that oil on it on fire. Well, water doesn't burn. No, but petroleum does, doesn't it? And they burn that oil off the top of that water. You can do that because oil is lighter than water. They are contrary one to another. Oil and water, chemically, molecularly, will not mix. They are contrary one to another. And it is no different this morning than the flesh and the spirit. Let me ask you a question here this morning. I'm going to get down personal just a little bit. I'm going to spend about another 5 minutes and then I'm done this morning. Have you ever felt that there's a battle going on inside of you? Now, you don't raise your hand, don't shake your head, don't give anything away. This is the time to play your poker face. But have you ever felt a battle going on within you? Have you ever experienced a pull to do whatever you want to do? Well, it's my life. I'll do whatever I want to do. I mean, even though it's contrary to the Word of God, even though it's contrary to pleasing God, have you ever had that pull, that draw to do it anyway? See, that's the flesh, my friend. That's the old nature. That is the old nature, the old man wrestling with the Spirit of God, the new nature, the nature of God that is within you. Remember what? Know you not. Your body is the temple, it's the tabernacle, it's the housing of the Holy Ghost, of the Holy Spirit. Your body is. You see, the Holy Spirit of God dwells in temples, the Bible says, made not with hands. This building here was made with hands. The tabernacle in the Old Testament was made with hands. The temple in the Old Testament and in the New up until AD 70 was made with hands. But the Holy Spirit of God in the New Testament did not dwell in a temple made with hands, but rather dwelt in the temple made without hands. And that's your body today. Saved, born again individual this morning has the Holy Spirit of God dwelling inside of them. And that is where he is. You receive all of the Holy Spirit of God that you're ever going to receive in the day that you got saved. Now, how much you render that house over to him is between you and your battle that you're having. There is that old Adamic nature that comes down from Adam. We got it from Adam. And it is a nature that is against the very nature of Jesus Christ. And that nature of Jesus Christ is called the Spirit. That old nature of Adam is called the flesh. Now the Bible says that the flesh is there to keep us from doing the things that we would do. The things that we want to do, at least the things that we should want to do. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It goes on to tell me this. It says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, railings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Now, how would you like to have in your life the fruit of the Spirit as opposed to the works of the flesh? Which one would you rather have? Would you rather have drunkenness, lasciviousness? Lasciviousness is living by your own desires in your own flesh. Would you rather have uncleanness, fornication, adultery, idolatry, wrath, emulation, strife? Would you rather have those things in your life? Or would you rather have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such as there is no law? Which one would you rather have? May I say this to you this morning, and I'm just about to wrap it up. If you have no desire whatsoever to have the fruit of the Spirit in your life, then may I say this. There is no battle taking place in your life. For if you don't have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, wrestling against your flesh, you know what that means? That means you are 100% Esau. You're 100% flesh. And you're living according to that Adamic nature that you received in the fall of mankind. My friend, if you're living according to the flesh and doing the things that the flesh leads you to do, you're being guided by the flesh just like a dog on a lead. Just like a horse with a bit and a bridle in his mouth, you're being led around by the flesh and not by the Spirit of God. And you know what that means? Listen carefully, and I'm finished. What that means is that you've lost the war. As a matter of fact, what that means is you're not even part of the war. What that means is you're not even part of the battle, for you don't even have enemies opposing one another from within. Saying all that to say this, my friend. In order to defend something, you got to have something to defend. And if you have not the Spirit of God inside of you, then you have not a renewed mind, and thus you are being conformed to this world, and there's nothing that you can do to, or nothing you can have to defend in your life against the flesh, for you're led by the spirit of Esau. Beloved, that's the difference today. The difference is whether or not you have chosen the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God moved in there, but unfortunately, the old flesh, the old Adamic nature didn't move out. The Bible says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. The Bible says, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth within me. The Bible says for us to put off the old man with his deeds. As a matter of fact, it goes as far to say, crucify the old man with his deeds. Kill it. So there's a battle that's going on within the saved, born-again individual today. A battle between right and wrong. A battle between having that renewed mind. A battle, my friend, that's trying to keep you from being conformed to this world by transforming you through the renewed mind. And if that battle is not there, I encourage you this morning to bow your heart, to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, to ask Him to come into your heart, ask Him forgiveness of sins, accept Him for the free pardon of sin. For that, if there is no battle from within, then there is no saved soul inside. There is no contrary part wrestling one against the other. My friend, you have to defend the renewed mind. It won't just stay there all the time. And if you're going to refuse to be conformed to this world, thus being transformed, you're going to have a renewed mind. That is the portion of the mindset. We've worked all the way up into this point today, and it sounds like it was going to be roses, and sounds like it was going to be, you know, just happy-go-lucky, but it's not. There comes a time with all that you've done thus far that you got to stand up and be counted for. You got to stand up and be a man, be a woman. You got to stand up and defend what God has given you with a renewed mind. That's where we are now. Standing for the defense of what God has thus done for us so far. Standing for the defense of the right mindset. Being disciplined, making the decisions. Heading in the right direction. But whatever you do, defend it with all you have today. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, we thank you, dear Lord, for all that you've given us and all that you've done. And we pray today that you would move, Lord God, into our lives. Give us guidance, direction, and mercy. Forgive us of where we have failed you. But Lord, I ask you, if there be any soul, dear Lord, present with us today or hearing us from afar, I pray, dear God, if there is no battle between right and wrong within them, if there is no struggle, dear Lord, between what is going on in their lives, Lord, I pray that you'd move upon their soul with great conviction, that they may receive you as Lord and Savior, be born again, receive the Holy Spirit of God, and thus enter into this battlefront, dear God, for the renewed mind, that they may be transformed in the life that you have given us. Dear God, we love you and we thank you for who and what you are. We pray now that you go with us the rest of this day in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I hope and pray that God was good to you this morning. Trust that He was in the preaching and teaching of His holy and precious word. All right, we're going to grab ourselves a blue hymnal as we are closed. And guys, I tell you what, I can't stress it enough. I'm not going to re-preach the sermon by any means, but I can't stress it enough. That battle must be there. There has to be a battle between right and wrong. There has to be a battle somewhere along there. And you need to make sure that your battle's within you.